Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you that we can look to your word for the answers that we need. And Lord, we do ask that you give us guidance here today. Thank you for your word and all that it gives. It gives us all that we need for life and godliness. So we believe that. I pray you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I appreciate our author's handling of this next subject. Those of you that are following the book, I understand what she's saying, but a couple of things that she says I will take a little bit of exception to. I rarely do that, but of course she is really in a difficult spot when you're dealing with depression. You can be culpable if you're not careful of balancing it out in every direction. And so I don't believe she's actually wrong, but I think the emphasis could be taken wrong. And so, again, it's rare that I do that, but overall I appreciate it. The lie is I can't bear being depressed. We looked last week at hormones, and we can't do anything about hormones was the idea, and I was thankful to get through that session. And now this one's a little more of what I'm normally used to dealing with, and frankly, in the short time that we have, we can only touch on it, but I do want to look at this. The lie, I just can't go on being depressed. In some ways, there's truth to that. We ought not go on being depressed. But the idea is that I have to do whatever I have to not be depressed. And so we're going to look at some of these different questions, but people do cope with depression all the wrong ways. And I think that's what she's trying to get at. We mask the problem rather than solve the problem. Folks, that is our culture today. All of the vices that you see, much of the medications that you see, the power of technology today, on and on I could go, really gets down to causing people to be addicted to coping rather than solving. And so it's a very, very major issue. Let me just say from the get-go that God has what is needed to meet each one of our needs. And that though some may battle legitimately more than others with depression, it is not something that should overtake a person. And this is a little bit different than some of the things that she may say here. I believe that the victory of the cross is a complete victory. But for some people, the pathway to getting there is not simple. And that's why she's trying to avoid giving simple answers. Though walking with God is simple, simplistic may be the better word. And then people being even more discouraged because the little formula didn't work for them, okay? Because there are complex situations that need to be looked at. And I will again say over and over, there are physiological things that will cause depression. And that's why it is important that if you get depressed sort of out of the blue and it doesn't make sense according to your circumstances, you need to realize there may be, you might want to go to an endocrinologist, you want to check diabetes, you want to check other hormonal things, you just don't know what might be happening. And it may not be that. You may have gotten into depression and you just didn't know it. But I've found some people just really get caught in, frankly, some physical things would definitely have helped if they were able to address the problem. High blood pressure, for instance, that's a little bit different, but it's constant anxiety that can lead to depression. And so sometimes ladies are in premenopause and they don't even realize it. And they just are totally thrown by it because they're not at the right age for it. And on I could go. So you cannot get around that aspect there. Now, she sort of gives the different types of lies, and they go back and forth in their extremes. She's trying to come up with the balance. I've got two things. I'm trying to teach this, and I'm also trying to balance out this chapter. So that's a little bit of what I'm trying to navigate today. Only unspiritual people get depressed. That's an overstatement. She's right. Okay, that's not always true. Depression is always rooted in sin. Not always so. By the way, on both cases, can people get depressed because they're unspiritual? Yes, they can. Is it sometimes because of sin? Yes, it is. But you cannot say that's the main reason. Depression is never rooted in sin. Well, that's the ditch on the other side, because sometimes it is. Depression is purely a physiological or brain or hormonal issue. No, that's not true. It is. We are made in the image of God, and we have emotions, and they can be separate from the physical. Depression is purely a spiritual issue. Well, I've already talked about. No, it can be a physical issue. Do you see the interesting dynamics here? The answer to depression must first always be sought in medication, or therapy. And I would say absolutely no on that, because oftentimes, and I want to be very careful here. I want everybody listening to me. I don't want to be misquoted here, okay? Unfortunately, medication for depression can be just another form of coping, dealing with the symptoms and not dealing with the essence. Did you hear that accurately? Okay, because I got to be very careful what I say about medication for any kind of psychological issue. But for some, I really know this is the same kind of coping as other things. Yes, ma'am.
All of those medications have a warning side effect, can cause depression.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to someone recently, and they were working their way off of antidepressants. And they said, you know, I just have felt so much more encouraged. I said, precisely. I said, to me, I feel so bad people take antidepressants and it gets them more depressed. But again, I got to be so careful on that, because that's not always so. Antidepressants will help people temporarily, so I want to be very careful. A lot of it is your own chemistry. A lot of it is how you are made and how your whole psychological makeup is. So it's really tricky. Yes. Yeah, well, very, very well stated. I trust you heard what she said, because the only reason when I'm dealing with psychotic issues, and again, we're getting way off of the depression, but of course, depression actually is interwoven through all psychotic issues. It's you're handling it mentally one way or the other, but that the only thing that is legitimate at times is the use of medication to get to the core issues, which are the only solution to the problem. But even there, sometimes the medication will make it difficult for you to be able to think correctly. So that's why the author is treading lightly, and that's why I am treading lightly, because to do justice to this subject, it would take, honestly, hours and hours and hours. And so I'm just trying to give an overview. And of course, it's in the book, so I want to deal with it. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I have found that sometimes going for a good walk helps me.
Well, you're going to hear something about that later on today.
Yes.
The good things that can be done, just that, the quote-unquote non-spiritual, but they're actually spiritual. The things that can be done to actually be used to the Lord to help you. A lot of times we get ourselves in our own mess by not moving, and moving is medicine. Sunshine will help dopamine. He's got his own way to solve our problems.
Socializing among good Christians.
Fellowship, edifying. Yeah, this is good. We'll just let you guys all do the workshop here today. So I'm right on. Yes, this is Halstead. Oh, that's exactly.
And it has to be very, very slowly. There have been people who have, several times
that. Now, that is, I appreciate you. If I was talking about meds directly, I appreciate that, because that's exactly right. What she, you hear what she says. I never recommend getting off of medicines without a doctor's orders. However, if a doctor doesn't cooperate, you may have to change doctors, but still stay under the doctor because they know the medical ramifications of getting on. By the way, the fact that there is such, what Mrs. Halstead said, there is such a reaction to getting off meds tells you a little bit about the meds. You know, that's instructive in itself about what that does to you. It does alter many times the chemical status in your brain and so forth. Or anything else you wanted to say on that? Because I really appreciated that. No, yeah, that's one of the first things that I say, because if a person goes cold turkey, bad things can happen. Thankfully, I've not had that happen where somebody did that and had that horrible of a situation, but I could certainly see how that could be. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, anything that, remember, pain meds that help you with major pain, they affect your brain. They don't affect, they are not like other regular pain meds that just actually help you in regard to taking away the swelling and so forth. They actually cause your brain to change so you do not compute the pain. And I'm telling you, if you have surgery and so forth, be on the minimal amount of meds afterwards and follow the doctor, but ask to say, I want to get off of this quickly. What's the best way to do it? So many people got hooked on meds just after a surgery. And doctors have been, in the past, they're not as much now, but they were extremely liberal in just giving it out when the patient wanted it. And don't get me on pharmaceuticals now, okay? Well, that's a whole other subject. Okay. You have to be so careful. So get good advice, be careful. But honestly, everything that's been said, I appreciate that. And so the answer to depression is not first in medication. Now, it may be that if there's an extreme case or if you're dealing with psychosis. By the way, you say, what is psychosis? Psychosis is thinking that is irrational, but you believe it. Now, I know that's a very down-to-earth definition. If you know you're not thinking right, you don't have psychosis. But if you believe what you're thinking, you're in trouble when it's illogical. It's a fear that's out of line. It is other kind of emotions that are not reasonable, but you believe it. And you're living in that world, that's psychosis, okay? So psychosis sometimes does have to be dealt with in a major way. Now, the other lie on the other side, the other ditch we could say, Christians should never treat depression with meds or therapy. And, of course, we've already hinted at that, is that there is sometimes you do need that help. I would say in far less situations than is normal in today's world, okay? But, again, I got to be careful what I say there. In other words, don't get overly doctrinaire on these things, because people are complex. And the difference between our inner being and our body and all of these things, there's a lot involved in it. All right. The physical, emotional effects of depression can be treated effectively apart from dealing with any spiritual heart issues that may be involved. And that's even in a very obvious physiological depression, it will reveal some spiritual issues. Okay. And so, again, that's an extreme on the wrong, too much. There is no hope. The other ditch is there's no hope for those who are depressed. Well, that's what everybody who's depressed thinks. Okay, so we don't want to believe that. Okay. And now, I struggle with. So I just told you, I gave you the disclaimer at the beginning here. Any Christian who really wants to can be healed from his or her depression. I don't believe that's a lie. It's true. So one of the few times I have an exception to our author. And I know what she's saying. I know what she's saying because sometimes there are really tough situations. She's having to be extremely careful because there are some deep, long-term emotional issues, but God is able to do all things. And I think to limit God, I don't think the statement is stated. I think it could be restated. And so, and again, I have no criticism of our author. I wouldn't be using this book if I wasn't didn't believe that. But I realize the eggshells that, you know, the fine line she is walking on and putting a book out with the respect that people have for her. Yes.
Could you reemphasize your point? I didn't understand what you're saying.
Basically, she's saying the lie is that everybody can be healed of depression, basically. That's not what exactly it said. Well, I believe everybody can be. But she said that that was a lie. In other words, there are some situations that maybe can't be fully overcome.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I know what she's saying.
Yeah.
There are some really broken, I mean, people get they're neurologically messed up. And they have effects, but they can still be healed spiritually. And they will just have to deal with the brokenness of what has happened. So again, I'm not arguing with her point, are you with me? But if you're reading the book, this could hit somebody the wrong way. And I just felt like I better just address it this time. Because, you know, she's living in a different world than I am. I'm here as pastor and I'm able to talk to you all. She's addressing a broad audience. Yes. Oh.
And then they get overwhelmed with their feelings. And so I think there are cases where people have just been on them so long that I have a friend going through that right now. So, you know, she might have to go back on them again because she's been on them so long that she's kind of overwhelmed from the withdrawal, really.
It's so real, and it's hard for us to understand if we haven't been in that situation. A brain does get rewired. Now, I could, even from when you spiritually get help, your brain will rewire. You can develop new dendrites as you learn and grow, and you can become a different person positively, but you have to realize that you have been very much altered in your brain by the chemicals that are there, and by, frankly, whatever mental problem that you have. You see, that's why people get stuck in a mental problem, that their brain is shifted, and then they have to shift it back, but it has to be shifted back by the grace of God. Folks, it's a complicated thing, but let me just say, 49 years of ministry, lots and lots and lots of people who you would have thought would be hopeless are walking with God today and in freedom, yet having to be very realistic about the tendencies that they have. Okay, so when I'm dealing with this, I don't want to be hopeless on this at all. That's not, in fact, that's the whole big lie at the beginning, that we just are stuck. If we have depression, that's the way it is. Oh, no, we don't have to live that way, but that is a reality. So I appreciate all of your input here. You can see I got you all awake here today as we talked about this. This is where we live today. Now, different pages are spent on looking at Bible characters and other folks who had a tendency for depression. We are made differently, okay? We definitely have different sensitivities, different approaches to different things in life, and so we do react to crises, background, and all differently. There are two major things that make us different. Number one is just our genetic makeup. Number two, our background. Now, give you on background. A young lady that was abused as an elementary child, she's got issues, but those can be overcome. That's why I don't want that to be hopeless, okay? But those are things that have to be dealt with and can be used of God to make them a very strong person and a very helpful person in our culture today. But let's go to the makeup. David is mentioned. David definitely had emotional swings, no doubt about it. Yet he was a man after God's own heart. And those emotional swings, when they were not checked, got him into sin, you know, which didn't help him at all. And so we would call that manic depression today. And I'm not going to get into that. By the way, everybody in here slightly manic depressive? Sorry, I don't want to. What's that?
You too, Pastor.
Me too. What I'm saying is, okay, when you're a little bit discouraged, you are waiting for the moment you feel better about everything, right? And when you're feeling good about everything, you think, well, when's the next time I'm not going to feel good? See, I've just proved it. You're all manic depressive, okay? Yeah. So that's human reality. But some people are far more emotional genetically than other people. I mean, people are very different. Yes, did you have your hand up there? Could be.
So he was
overlooked. Well, the attitude of his oldest brother, Eliab, you know, is very telling. Yeah, and he, I mean, to be running from his father-in-law, you know. By the way, people that have severe manic depression, again, I'm getting way off subject here, usually have a crisis in their childhood. Usually. Not always, but most of the time. And so that's what I go back and look for, and then we work our way on the how to deal with those things. Yes?
I just want to say the book of Psalms is full of it. I'm down, I'm in the pit, I'm this, I'm that, I almost drowned, I almost died. And then God, you know, Psalms is full of it.
It is, and it's a great comfort because he always comes out right.
Yeah, right.
Always comes out right. By the way, the Bible's authenticity is clearly seen in taking the hero of Israel and having him honestly portrayed. I mean, this is not a hero book. This is an honest book from the heart of God and gives us a very real understanding of people and their needs. Abraham, was he perfect? No. Isaac? No. Jacob, absolutely not, you know. But he ended right. You know, you go right on through, and it's an encouragement. Another person that is mentioned here is C.H. Spurgeon. He definitely had a up and down. Part of it was background. Part of it was his sensitive nature. What made him a great preacher and a great leader was the tendencies that he had. Many people who do great things suffer greatly because to be able to do those, they have a nature we don't fully understand. He said, talks about his bouts of depression. My spirits were sunken so low that I could weep by the hour like a child, and yet I knew not what I wept for. Now, you see, I don't understand that. It's not because I'm a stronger Christian than he is. I just don't have that makeup, you know. Now, I'll cry, but I'm going to have something worth crying about, you know. I'm not going to just say. Now, ladies, you don't have emotional problems if you just cry for no reason. That's partially just being a lady, okay? So just, I'm not saying that derogatory. Isn't that true? Well, at least it was when you were a junior high girl, you know. Junior high girls cry for nothing, you know. I mean, they just cry on the spot, you know. But anyway, he also says, as well fight with the mist as with the shapeless, undefinable, yet all beclouding hopelessness. So he, you know, he went through it. Anybody know another famous hero of the past that had these same kind of tendencies? Oh, yeah. Well, his was severe. Whew, he was in trouble. Cowper. It may be Cooper. I don't know. I just say it so you know who we're talking about. He wrote some of the great hymns. What's the... Yes?
David Greener, the evangelist in early colonial America.
He may have had, he was a sensitive man, broken, but God honored that brokenness, and that revival among the Delaware Nation was just an amazing thing. Hudson Taylor, clearly, he had all of those tendencies, and yet God used those tendencies to make him the man that was able to reach China. So I want to encourage you, if you know you have some of those tendencies, and so forth, do not feel like you are bound by something that is going to keep you from serving the Lord. Anything, any way you are, God can turn it to good if you will trust him. And so a study of Taylor's life, others, is very, very helpful. Well, excuse me? He's a master at taking what we think is the worst thing in the world and making it such a positive thing. Yes.
This is a book called Spurgeon's Sorrows that Zach Hesmeen compiled, and it's very comforting if you struggle with depression or anxiety. It's very encouraging.
Yeah. Well, as you can see, I got through the introduction. I wasn't planning on going two times, Mrs. Allen, but we will stretch this out. I do want to talk to you more from my teaching than from the book on the key. There are many things that can contribute, all the trials, all the things we talked about. But it's how you handle that. And I'm going to look at anxiety next week. And not handling life's problems correctly, because it will head into depression. It's not the only thing you deal with, but it is definitely, I would say, the major contributor. And so we'll just do more of a just practical, down-to-earth work on that, okay? So, good. Well, definitely you all are geared in on this, so I'll take a whole nother session. But listen, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you know you can have a very sad spirit, you're physiologically down, it can be about ready to rain outside, you have sad things happening in your life, but there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is the great the issue that we're talking about here. And some of your greatest joy will be during your darkest time. And that's why you cannot be imprisoned by your depression, okay? And so that's very important. I just talked to a man this morning, not from our church, but a pastor from somewhere else, who's going through a deep time that I can't even imagine. But he said, I want you to know, Pastor, he said, these last couple of weeks have been the best time I've ever had in prayer. I have had the greatest joy in the midst of the greatest sorrow. And he said, God has changed my life.
Who is this?
I can't mention. A person called me and asked for prayer this morning. And I just thought, that's our God.
Yeah.
That's our God. So it is a spiritual matter, but depression doesn't necessarily come from that. That's why, you know, you go back and forth on this. But I'm going to just cut through and talk about some things you can do to be a help to you, okay? Real practical next week.